Good morning. It's Palm Sunday. I'm so glad you're joining us. I want to welcome you to this Palm Sunday service. If you're members of Grace, I'm glad you're here. If you're not members, if you've never attended Grace, I am so glad that you have come to join us for this service. Now, Palm Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week, and Palm Sunday is kind of a bittersweet Sunday celebration because Jesus comes in to Jerusalem, and they wave the palms, and they sing Hosanna, but it would end up with him on the cross. Bittersweet. Bittersweet for me personally as well. My mother died yesterday, and, I'm sorry, this is Sunday, so she died on Friday, and we are not able to go there because of the virus, and she lives in Virginia Beach. She was 93. She left a legacy for our family, my four siblings, of faith and education. We are all believers, and our children are as well, and we all obtained a college degree, and some of us went beyond that too. So, bittersweet, but God is good. My mother is in heaven, June Ellsrode. The service today is one of rejoicing, though, because the Lord our Savior has come to do what he was called to do, this great mission. So I'm glad you're with us today. And if you have anything like a palm, you can wave it at different times during our music. Thanks be to God. Let's begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. We pray. Father, we're here in this place today. In our homes, wherever we might be, we're here because we love you, because we celebrate what you did for us, how you set your face like flint, how you marched into Jerusalem knowing what awaited you there. Thank you, Father. And we praise you, and we will praise you in this service today with heart, mind, and soul. Oh, Lord, may we continue to grow in our faith. Even in these perilous times, may we give witness to the peace that you have brought us. In Jesus' name, amen. We go to the Lord with our confession this morning. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He comes to bring us salvation, to cleanse us from our sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we have not been faithful in our promises to you. We have not walked in the way of Christ. We are neglectful in serving others. We have been silent when we should have spoken of you and called on your name. Have mercy on us. Strengthen our faith. Increase our hope and guide us in the paths of service. Amen. It is my great joy and pleasure to say to you what God wants you to hear, because our Almighty God has had mercy upon us. And he has sent Jesus Christ into the world to die for our sins so that we might be totally forgiven. By virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Lord, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we sing our song, You Are My King.
Forgiven because you were forsaken, and I've accepted you were condemned, and I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died in rose again. Amazing love.
It's beautiful. Now let's do a psalm of praise together. This is from Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard-pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We sing forever.
God and King, His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever.
Also with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We confess our common faith together with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We now hear our scripture readings for today. We begin with our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 50, beginning at verse 4. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning, he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle lesson is from Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel is from the Gospel of John chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. Hear the word of the Lord. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things that had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." This is the Holy Gospel, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hey, Grace family, good to be worshiping once again with you on this Palm Sunday. And I want to share a story with you. This happens for pastors when we are maybe gone on a Sunday. Somebody at times, if there's not two pastors like we're blessed with here, a pastor has to fill in for the pastor who goes on vacation. And so this happened at a church where a pastor filled in for another. And he wasn't really familiar with the mics and all of the setup. And so he kind of tapped on the mic to make sure it was working. And he didn't really hear anything. He didn't get a response. And so he leans closer into the mic and he says, "There's something wrong with this mic." And the congregation, not really paying any attention whatsoever, just all of a sudden all said, "And also with you." You see, I can't speak for you, but I know when things get a little too familiar, I find myself maybe just going through the motions like that congregation did when that pastor was visiting. We get so steeped in routine that we stop paying attention to what we're doing. And that can happen. I know that can happen on a Palm Sunday when you've heard this text perhaps 20, 30, 40, 50 times in your life. You can just go through the motions. On the other side of the coin, that can happen as well when you're in crisis, when things are just kind of going crazy around you, and as a result, you just don't have the bandwidth to be focusing and paying attention. And so it may make you say, "And also with you," even when that's not the proper place to say it. And in our day, in our time right now, as we're here worshiping together, yet at the same time in different places, we're not able to wave our palms like we would on a typical Palm Sunday. It can make it challenging and hard. That can be the danger. Going through the motions on one hand, or being so inundated with other things going on in life that we just can't focus. These palm branches were waving as Jesus had made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And yet, because we've either heard this so much or because of where we're at today, it can be hard for us to hear and focus on what's really happening in the life, the triumphal entry of Jesus, the death, the resurrection of Jesus that is to come. So what I want you to do today is, first of all, tell me where you're at on the side of the coin of, is it easy to focus, or is it hard to focus right now because of what's going on in the world? Is it easy to just go through the motions whenever you've heard something? You can comment on our YouTube channel by just letting us know what you think. You can go on our Facebook page if you found the link to this sermon there, and just in the comments, post, where are you at right now? Where are you at on this Palm Sunday? But right now, let's look at this text as if we're looking at it for the first time. And maybe we're not looking at it for the first time today, but we sure have to look at it differently, because as far as I know, none of us have ever been in a situation where we couldn't gather in a physical, tangible way together for any Holy Week services. So I want to begin by looking at this text by first just rehashing very briefly what happened in chapter 11. Lazarus has been raised from the dead by Jesus, as Pastor Rich spoke about so beautifully last week. And he had been dead for 4 days. So what happens? Jesus simply spoke by saying, "Lazarus, come out." and he did. Now, this freaked the Jews out a little bit, as it would have you and me, because that's weird. It hasn't happened before. And so what happens? Well, somebody tattles on Jesus to the Pharisees. And so all the big wig religious leaders huddle together and they basically say, hey, if this guy continues to do miracles, we are finished. I mean, the Romans will come and take our power. We love our station in life and we don't want that to happen. So we got to do something. Then this chief priest, Caiaphas, says something that's very ironic later on in chapter 12, verse 50. He says, it's better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. And later, it states that as a high priest, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. Have you ever noticed this before? I mean, check out those verses just later on in chapter 12 that he's prophesying this. Do you see how ironic this is? I mean, the leaders want Jesus to die because they don't want to lose their power. That they would like nothing more than to Jesus be taken out. And what Caiaphas said, there's so much truth in this. Yes, Jesus is going to deliver not just a nation, but the nations from their sin. And Jesus is going to draw all people to himself. And everyone would have freedom from sin, freedom to live the life that Jesus has given them and to follow him as Lord and Savior and Messiah. Well, we go to chapter 12, verse 12, and we see there's this big crowd. And they are there to see Jesus. And there's the palm trees, palm leaves that they're waving. They've thrown them out on the ground. They're yelling, Hosanna, save, I pray, or give salvation now. That's really what Hosanna is saying. That's what they're saying to Jesus. Now, not only are the religious leaders confused about the type of leader that Jesus was, the crowd started calling him the King of Israel. In this governmental setup, a king wouldn't really be needed in this structure of government. So it's a very odd thing for them to say. But what they're doing is they're greeting Jesus the same way that they would be greeting dignitaries and governors and generals and war heroes. And in the Jewish tradition, the waving of palm branches signified there was some type of national victory. Are they right that Jesus is the Messiah? Well, yeah, they are. And the Jews knew Zechariah 9, verse 9, and all the Old Testament that said a Messiah would be coming. And the one who raised Lazarus is the promised king and Messiah. Yet they think that he's a Messiah from a national political perspective, not from some salvific religious perspective, a person that would come to save us from our sin. No, it's from this national political perspective. And so right here, Jesus is redefining what it means to be a king. He doesn't just reign nationally for a select group of people, but instead, Jesus is there to declare he has come for everyone, all nations. In an ironic way, the Pharisees see this in verse 19, where they say this, look, even the world has gone after him. The Pharisees, by saying this, they're basically saying this. You can't stop Jesus. You can only hope to contain him. See, Jesus didn't need social media to go viral. But he was the first to go viral. You can't find any vaccine to inoculate the virus that is Jesus and his love. You could look for 18 months. You could try to develop it like you would a coronavirus vaccine. But people have been trying to find a vaccine to inoculate Jesus since Genesis chapter 3, when sin entered into the world. They've been trying to find this vaccine to inoculate the power that is Jesus and the hope that is Jesus. And not one person has been able to find it. And the devil has tried for years. So when the world and the Greeks are going after him, as the text says, it's saying these people of non-Jewish background, what it's saying is that Jesus is the king, and he has come for all people. He reigns for all people. Jesus says this in verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Here's what Jesus is saying simply. He's not going to be glorified as king with everybody's praises as they're all shouting Hosanna. Instead, he's going to be glorified by giving up his life, by dying. But see, with Jesus, with his death, there's life. The old seed dies, and it becomes fertilizer, which promotes life. It's kind of like what happens with a fire in a forest. Fire forges and creates life. Things grow after that fire. It reignites. It makes new. And this is incomprehensible, what Jesus is saying, for the Jews of this day and for the culture in general. Jesus' death will show his love to the world. One man has to die so everybody else is saved. Caiaphas was on to something earlier. And Jesus says, "When I am lifted up from the earth," in verse 32, "I will draw all people to myself." See, here's the awesome thing. Jesus wasn't looking to avoid death. Now, if it would have worked out any other way, he probably would have been all for it, as he prays later in the garden. But he didn't avoid death. Instead, he overcame it. And as a result, he remains alive forever. And here's the awesome thing. You do too. Yet this is all incomprehensible to understand for the crowd. Jesus calls all the people present to believe in the light while it's still with them. And isn't it interesting that the coming of Jesus, the light, blinded some of the eyes of the people because of sin, because of hardness of heart, because the people were looking for Jesus to be some other kind of type of savior. They're in fact blind to the Messiah and the savior that is standing right in front of them. And it brings us back to the words John said in chapter 1. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, you and I are really no different than this crowd that was gathered together yelling Hosanna. We try to make Jesus into our guru or our political savior, our genie. We try to make things that Jesus has created, wonderful things that he's given us, gifts in our lives like money, family, friends, people, our jobs, where we live. We try to make those things our Messiah, our Savior, our King. We put our hope in the fact that there's going to be a vaccine for coronavirus, or our faith and trust in doctors. Now, I'm not saying that having these things are not great blessings. They are. And we should. Science is a gift. You know, it's a gift that God has given us. But the problem is when we put our trust in science or money or politics or our friends, our family, our own selves, over and above God, the one who gave us all of these gifts. We make idols. We make Jesus into a genie, or even worse, he's not even our Savior anymore because something else has taken his place. And as a result, we miss the light of Jesus, the King, and your Messiah, who stands right in front of you. And he says, I love you because I have life, you have life. You have my hope and my joy. And so, friends, leave in the comments on YouTube or Facebook the answer to this question. What have you made as an idol instead of Jesus? I know that's a hard thing to answer online publicly, but you're not going to be the only one who would post that. What do we make as our idols instead of Christ? Because Jesus is standing right in front of us. He shows us who he is through his word. He shows us that he gives us our hope and joy and love and forgiveness that we have. So this Holy Week, friends, know that Jesus forgives you. And he is your Savior and your Lord who loves you, who you can rest in. You can put your hope and your trust in. No matter where you are, what you're dealing with, Jesus reigns. Hosanna. Glory to God in the highest. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Danny, for your sermon, the words of God that come to us and bless us. Before I make some announcements, you know, I love Jesus. I hope you do too. I love him. I love what he did for us. I love that I can have a relationship with him, a personal relationship of trust, that I can talk to him and he hears and he answers prayers in various ways because he's God. You know, I wish we could all have palms, but we don't have palms. You may not have palms in your home. But I think after my announcements, we're going to sing the song Hosanna, and that's a time when you should be waving palms, right? So let me make a suggestion. If it's close by, kitchen close by, can you have someone grab some spatulas? I know this sounds odd, but I think in a way we love him and we want to think that he's right before us coming into Jerusalem to save us, to be an example to us. And maybe wave those spatulas, right, as we hear the song. But just a few announcements. First of all, Good Friday, we're going to have a service online again. And I hope you will join. I hope you make it a point not to miss the Good Friday service, because this is the day we recognize, or at least symbolize, because we don't know exactly what day it was, but that Jesus went to the cross for us. This is what Christians all throughout the whole world celebrate and remember what Jesus did for us at Good Friday. Hope you can be with us. Pastor Danny and myself, we're available for ministry. You can call us. You can email us. Don't hesitate to do that. You have prayer requests. He already mentioned that we have ways for you to send them to us. And we will pray over those things. We definitely will. But we're here for you. And we're carrying out our ministry the best we know how. We have offerings to give. I hope you have offerings to give. If you're able, if you've lost your job, we understand. If your pay's been cut. But It is part of our worship of God that we worship Him with our offerings. And I pray that you will do that because it's important that we continue and maintain our ministry here. And this is going to end someday, we hope soon, and we're going to be back doing all the things we're doing. I hope you notice that there is an email on Facebook that you can support the hungry in our city by giving gifts. I forget, what was that, Pastor Danny, the ministry? On Facebook, Keith Abraham has a video, and you can give money to a food bank here in Knoxville. Many people are going to be lacking food. Our own social ministry have given out about $6,000 worth of gift cards as well. Second Harvest is the name of it. Second Harvest. And it's a wonderful way that you can give to them. They can help especially the people that lack adequate food supply. May you give your offerings through online or mail them to us. We're so appreciative. We stand together to serve our Lord in the best ways we know how. Now, let's sing Hosanna. hope you waved your spatula or palm or whatever you had to wave. Let's go to the Lord with our prayer. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Break our heart for what breaks yours, Lord. We want to serve you. We want to carry out the words of that song, Hosanna. And we, oh Lord, praise you and worship you. And we give you our lives, oh Lord. You came to be our Savior, and we love you for that, Lord. We love you that you didn't hesitate to go to the cross. And Lord, not only were you our Savior, but you were an example to us. Help us to walk in your humility so that we too may be among our fellow men and women as those who serve. In your forgiveness, O Lord, may we also forgive. Lord, as you walked through this earth, help us to have the courage that you had, so that nothing may ever deflect us from the way we ought to take. Give us the endurance you had, so that nothing may daunt or discourage us until we reach our goal. In the loyalty you showed to the Father, help us to have that loyalty, that nothing may ever seduce our hearts from our devotion to you. Father, we pray an end to this pandemic. Especially, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in New York City. We pray, O Lord, that you help them through this perilous time, that you give them hope and endurance and love. We pray for the whole country, Lord. We pray, O Lord, that you would help those who have lost jobs, who have seen cuts in their salary, who are concerned about loved ones, O Lord, who they're not able to be with. We pray for our government officials, and especially our President, Donald Trump. We pray that you give them wisdom, that you give them direction by your Spirit. We pray for doctors and nurses and medical workers and all those who serve those who are sick and ill. We pray for those who are part of our family at Grace who are ill, who have cancer, who are recovering. But we pray also for our community here in Knoxville, Lord. We pray for those who don't know you, Jesus, don't know that you are the light of the world, the Savior, the compassionate one who will hear our prayers, the one who has told us that he wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of a loving God, a compassionate God. Father, we pray in this time when we are more or less separated from each other, that you put a love in our hearts and a determination to be the kind of disciples that you call us to be, to ready to give our all for you, Lord Jesus. And we pray these things as you've taught us in that marvelous prayer. We pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his favor upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Now may God bless the mission he has given us, our mission to connect, grow, and serve. Now we sing, All My Hope.
the Savior. And I feel far from above. And I've been down to the river. I hate the same, a prodigal. Never be the same.
That's why I sing.
All my hope.